It's in the one that we've just portrayed on the screen. 1 Kings 19:11. Then a great powerful wind tore through the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. And the Lord was not in the wind. In the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the... And after the earthquake came the fire. Doesn't it sound like earth, wind, and fire? That's a good playlist on my Spotify and Pandora, amen. I like 70s hits, amen. Some earth, wind, and fire, amen. They could sing, couldn't they, back in the day. But the Lord was not in the fire. And this is how the word was. And after the fire came what? Amen. They all sounded good. It was a whisper that came. Are you desperate for a move of God in your life? Yeah, we are. We need to hear from God. And we learned last week that a prepared heart, the ground, amen, the heart, the seed of the word is dropped in, but that ground needs to be prepared. And if it's not prepared, the root won't take, the plant won't grow. So we need direction. It's critical that we hear from God for some of us in our lives. We're about to save 5 years of our life if we get God involved right now, if we ask God to lead us. And you'll waste 5 years if you don't have that assurance from God, this is the way that you should go. No, 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 don't go that way. Let me direct you with my eyes. It says in Psalms, I'm going to look this way, and you're going to, yeah, this is the way that you should go. And God's love language, it cuts through the noise, and it cuts through all the noise of this earth so we can hear Him today. And we got to take time for hearing the voice of the Lord. See, God's a speaking God. Did you know that? He's a God of relationship. Many of you got married because He asked you out, right? Because He spoke to you. Most of you are here because somebody had a date and they spoke to you and you got, you know, born and you got, amen. You just didn't pop in. An alien didn't drop you off on planet Earth, right? You were born because of relationship, and relationship begins with communication. And so when God spoke communication, spoke creation in Genesis chapter 1, He said, "Let there be light." He spoke it and there was light. Thank God He's a speaking God. When God gave Noah the instructions for the ark, He says, put 2x4s, get 2x2s, bring them in, one by one, build it this way. And He was a speaking God and a revelator the way He gave Noah instructions. He gave Moses burning bush experience, and He spoke tenderly to him on the mountain. He brought down 10 commandments that were instructed of God. He spoke to Paul in a prison cell, and He says, write this letter. And now we're reading the letters of Paul in the New Testament because He's a speak. God hasn't stopped speaking. We have to understand that, right? Maybe we've just stopped listening, or we get distracted by other things, and we want God. We need to listen to God's voice. So turn to the person next to you and say, I'm glad you made it to church today. Now turn to your second choice and say, you need church. You were second choice, but you needed church, amen? You need some church today, right, everybody? If nobody talked to you, amen, amen, good. You're looking at me, good, amen. I'm inspired, man. It's all good, right? Hearing the voice of the Lord. I love to walk through crowds, or maybe, have you sat at gyms and you get that person sitting back of you in the booth and you're just sitting there, but you can kind of ease, man, I can listen good to people's conversations. How about you? They're going to do that. Or, you know, you're eavesdropping as you walk through, you're hearing stuff. I know you're not like me, amen. You have that gift of hearing. Irma says, you're hard of hearing, Mario. And I go, huh? You have to be in our house to get that, amen. But she means it. There's a passage of encouragement about God's word and how it speaks. And it gives me such encouragement because it shows me that God, time after time, tries to speak to us and speak to me, and he doesn't give up on speaking to me. And so I want to read it to you. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. I love this passage because it gives me such encouragement. I hope you'll love it too, and you may already because you know it. And the boy Samuel, and tradition says he was about age 12, right, everybody? Yeah, so about 12 years old, as young as our young people serving right now in our children's ministry. Some of them are here with us today. And he was serving God under the direction of Eli. And this time, when the revelation was rare or heard or not seen, in other words, it was very precious. There was something that God's word just wasn't out there all the time. It wasn't like you have the Bible that you bought to today. It was precious. And so one night, Eli, he was sound asleep, and his eyesight was very bad and could hardly see. He was already growing older. And it was well before dawn, and the sanctuary lamp was still burning. That, look at that, how important that is. Thank God the lamp of God is still burning. There's still some light, amen. We can still go for it today, amen. And Samuel was still in bed, the temple of God, where the chest of God, that was the ark of the covenant of God. That's where the Ten Commandments were, the presence of God. Look how close this young boy wanted to be to the presence of God. It's beautiful. And then God called out, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, yes, I'm here. And he ran to Eli. He was confused. And he says, I heard you call. Here am I, Eli. I didn't call you. Go back to bed. You know, aren't you glad that you parents are here when you told that child, I'm thirsty. I want some water. Go back to bed. How many have told your kids that? I'm hungry. No, go back to bed. We're going to eat in the morning. Right? And so, you know, our children used to do that. Now our dogs wake us up, right, everybody? Right, Irma? Yeah. And so he did. And then verse 6 and 7 said, so God called again. There's hope for me when God keeps speaking. Samuel, Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli. And I heard you call. Here am I. Again, Eli said, son, I did not call you. Go back to bed. This all happened before Samuel knew for God himself. Personal relationship there, and before the revelation of God had been given to him personally. So he was young, and he was still a student. He was still pliable. He was still learning. Verse 8 and 9, God called again for the third time, Samuel. Yet Samuel got up again and went to Eli. Yes, I heard you calling me. Here am I. And it dawned on Eli that God was calling the boy. So Eli directed Samuel, go back and lie down. And if the voice calls you again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I'm ready to hear. Isn't this good? Isn't this a good story? I like this story. And so Samuel returned to his bed. Look what happens next. So 10 says this, then God came and stood before him exactly as before and called out, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, I'm your servant, ready to listen. A 12-year-old boy said that. He changed the world because of his attitude. Verse 11, and God said to Samuel, listen carefully. I'm reading the Message Bible because it's just better narrative. I'm getting ready to do something in Israel that is going to shake up everything and get their attention. Does God have your attention yet? He can get it, right? And we may be not on the fourth call, but maybe on the second call, but God is still trying to get our attention. It goes on that he's going to have to tell Eli about what's going to become of his house, which isn't nice. It's not good, but it's judgment coming to his house because the patience of the Lord has stayed. It was Old Testament. Verse 15 says this, and after that, look at what happened after God spoke to Samuel. Samuel stayed in bed until the morning. Then he arose early, and he went about his duties and opened the doors of the sanctuary. This verse is so important to me because it's the end of the passage about God. See, God showed up and spoke to him. And if that would have probably been me, I would have wanted an entourage at that point. I need some bodyguards. I need somebody carrying my Bible. I know y'all ain't like me. I would have had some importance about me, some self, you know, lifting up today. And this young man, that's why God loves young people. That's why God loves a young heart, because he said they're not so full of themselves. He went about, he still had to take out the trash in the temple. He still had to set up tables. He still had to clean. He still had to open doors. Do y'all get what I'm saying? That's what God uses. That's what God announces to. That's what God brings the voice to right now. Somebody that is learning, somebody that's humble that way today. Let's go back and clean a toilet today. Amen? Maybe that's not you. People that say, I heard from the Lord, when they say that in times of just instruction or guidance, and I know that they're not doing right, and they come, I heard from the Lord, and it's totally contrary maybe from the word, from even God's word, and once they say they drop that, they drop, I heard from the Lord, you know what I usually do, what I've learned? I can't do anything about that then. You heard from God. And I know that they're wrong because it doesn't line up with God's word. How many ever been there? Maybe your children? They're stubborn. They're going to go on their way. They may not drop that I heard from the Lord. There was this guy at Christ for the Nations, a Bible college that I went to. And maybe it was because it was Christ for the Nations, but there's some weird people at Christ for the Nations that are students. I wasn't that way. Don't look at me. Amen. But I did graduate. Amen. So this one guy was like the prophet of the school. And he was just weird because they would call in like 40 days of prayer and fasting or even do one day, you know, and not, none of us, you know, we were like starving and in our beds all week because you didn't eat one. But, you know, this guy would like go on a 20-day fast and, you know, they would find him and, you know, he'd be half dead. They'd stick an IV in him. He would be real intense that way. He never, you know, the guy didn't take showers because he believed he was John the Baptist and he had to smell like a camel and that sort of thing. And so he was kind of a Christian, you know, weirdo that way. And I don't want you to be that weirdo that says, I heard from the Lord that way. It should be something that's not weird. Jesus wasn't weird. And I'll show you that in a moment. Well, one time this guy that I'm talking about, I'm not going to name his name because he can give me, maybe he'll watch Facebook one day and know I'm talking about him. His roommate was like this guy that had like the best stereo system. He had like the studio in his dorm. And back then we had 8 cassette tapes. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all are my age, amen, because you're old, right? So I wanted a tape mix. I wanted some, you know, Amy Grant on there, some Michael W. Smith. I know these guys are a little. And so I said, hey, make, you know, so I brought him a blank tape. I said, can you mix this tape for me? So I went to his dorm room, and his weirdo roommate was his roommate, too. So I'm knocking on the door. Christ for the Nations has this dormitory for men that they bought out, like a nice hotel. It was nice in the 60s. But now it's the year 2. So it's still the men's dormitory. It's a 12-story high-rise that was an old hotel that they made into the men's dormitory. So the hallways, you know, are in there and so forth, and they're enclosed or whatever. So I'm knocking on the door, the dormitory, 7th floor. I'm knocking, knocking, knocking. And you ever, like, just lose track? Because I was the only one in the hallway. It was enclosed. But you ever get like me? And, you know, I was young. I was in my 20s, and I was just knocking, but I just lost track of my essence and my being. I just kept knocking, knocking, knocking because I was looking around. I know nobody's like me, but I finally, you know, nobody was coming to the door, so I started walking away. And the weirdo came out of the door because after 5 minutes of me knocking, he came out of the door. But not only that, he came out of the door naked. He was totally nude in the hallway. But I was like far, you know, from this to the keyboard, and I was like, so that kind of scared me, but it was a men's dormitory. And so then I went, hey, man, what's up? I said, are you, is Bob there? You know, my voice went higher, and he went, Bob's not here. I go, well, I wanted him to make this tape for me, but I didn't want to look down. So I was like kind of looking, you know, like this. And because I knew he was naked, you know, I could see it. But then I didn't want to look. And I said, I wonder, well, when he comes back, tell him that I have a mixtape for him. I want him to make it for me. So I went away that way. I don't want you to be that sort of guy that hears from God. You don't have to be that guy. You can be normal. You can be the person that God shows up and you can serve the Lord and not be weird. Right, everybody? And when you come to church, wear clothes. Give me a good amen. God wants to speak to you. You say, me? No, who am I? I'm not the guy up there preaching. I'm not the guy that has the many-member church. No, God can, when we do comparison, there are more spiritual people that you look at on this earth. Yeah, they're intense and they're okay, but God can still speak to you. And I love that he not only tried to speak to Samuel once, twice, even 3 times, but he spoke to him 4 times before Samuel got it. Sometimes my obedience is a little bit slow. How about yours? And God is still trying to reach to us, and we respond slowly, and God says, I want it said of Living Faith Church that that church hears from God. Amen? We heard from God today, and we heard from God. So this passage that I just read to you about Samuel, I want to unpack it. I want to get some highlights in there. I want to give you 3 principal points on hearing from God, on why Samuel was a candidate, and why you can apply these to your life today. And real practical, number one is this, a young heart. Somebody say a young heart. A young heart. Ushers, we've got the ushers here, amen. Did you guys got your message notes, right? Because ushers handed them to you, right? Amen. Ushers in God's love language today. There's a young heart for the Lord, and it's a humble heart today. A young heart is always a humble heart. You're still fresh before God. You still have, you're pliable, your walk with God. It's a preparation when you're humble like that to have a young heart that God's going to speak to you. The establishment of that time was Eli, and his sons were wicked according to the Word of God. The Word of God said that they were wicked, and they didn't hear from God's voice. The religious establishment wasn't hearing from God. God had to select a 12-year-old boy, a young heart, to come hear his voice today. I was young once, but now I'm 50-something. And I don't like being 50-something sometimes, but sometimes I do. Because I realize, you know what it is about older people that I've noticed this? How about you? That older people can say stuff to people and insult them and walk away. Like nothing, man. I drove 4 hours to come see you, Grandma, and you insulted me for Thanksgiving, right? Looks like you're getting a little bit fat there. Yeah, you know. But nobody can tell Grandma anything because she goes to sleep at 8 p.m., right? So the older that I get, I can insult people, and that's a pretty good deal, right? You have to like people. You can tell them off. And then you can go to sleep at 8:30, and everything's cool, right? I'm going to sleep. Amen. But the, you know what? My goal in life is to stay young at heart. How about you? Amen. I want to stay young in my serve. I want to serve the Lord like a young person, enthusiastically. I want to have a young heart when I worship God and wonder, just wonder, God, what are you doing right now as I sing a song of faith about what you can. I want to, when I read God's word, I want to dream God's word. I want to read it. Like, remember when you first got saved and you kept reading God's word and you kept reading God's word and you kept reading? You would carry God's word. You weren't ashamed. I want to have that young heart. How about you? I want to have a young heart when I use my time, my talent, my treasure for God. I want to give it all to God because that's what young hearts do. They're a humble heart. They give it all to the Lord. Amen. We need a young heart. Amen. A new beginning today. Same old thing. No, that's an old heart. A new heart would say, no, every morning is new, God. Mercies are new every morning for the Lord today in my walk today. It's a new beginning because God is a God of new beginnings. Is that good? Jesus was on a ministry in the community area. It wasn't a big church. He was just in the community loving people. The example of Jesus. Not behind a pulpit, but just loving people in his community. And these little kids would run up to him because Jesus was like this magnet of children. Children would just be attracted to him. And you ever notice a mean, sour person doesn't attract kids? Because they're scared of them, right? But a friendly person, a person that has time, So Jesus was the real deal. They read, children, if they read you, you're the real deal, right, everybody? And they read our Savior, and they were around him to the point, look at what the disciples said. Get him away, but look at the passage with me in the Luke passage, Luke 18:15. On the screen in your handout, do you have your handout there? Let's read it together on three. It's a long passage. Let's stay together. Are we ready to read it? Yeah, three. Ready? How about one person over here? I heard one person go, yeah, amen. How about everybody else? You're going to join them? One, two, three, go. Some people brought their small children to Jesus so he could lay their hands on them to bless them. But Jesus called the little children to him and said to his followers, let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. And the truth is, or you will not enter it. It's not a child, I'm not being childish with my walk with God, but I'm being childlike in my faith. See, a child needs instruction. They're teachable. A child doesn't have that pride in their life that I'm not going to listen. Or I don't need God's blessing because I'm all blessed. Don't touch me. No, they don't pretend like that. They're children. If you want to bless me, bless me. You know, no. I've already been blessed. I have to. No, they don't have any pretense about them today. Jesus even celebrated them as model citizens of his kingdom. He said, "This is how the kingdom is. These are how the model. These are it. This is how it should look When you're in my kingdom, you should be childlike in your faith today. Always discovering, always going after it, always new in the things of God. That's why the growing in faith class is so important that Laura Collier teaches. At the end of our service, we'll have some graduates. And they'll come forward. Because growing in faith, well, I know it all. No, that's old. I need to learn again. That's new. Amen. That's a young, an old heart. You can't teach me anything. No, a young heart would be, I want to learn from God because I want to serve in this house. Right, everybody? And so Jesus is attracted to people that have a young heart that way. Amen? That's why. It's no fun being around a know-it-all. Nobody wants to hang out with a know-it-all, right? You want to hang out with somebody that, man, there's no such thing as a professional Christian. We're all learning in this room. Are you glad you came to Living Faith Church? Yeah, because some of y'all don't act like it right now. Amen. Maybe this is what we need to hear. The second point is this. Value God's love language above all. Somebody say value.
Value.
Yeah. Eliminate all the competing voices that, I got to hear from God. I'm going to hear from God right now. I don't want any distractions. God has this outside voice. And he can use it because he's used it. I've seen him in the Bible. But God chooses when he wants to speak tenderly in the night, when he wants to speak in a trial in your life and trouble, if it's been like mine and we're all under the same heaven, that he speaks tenderly in the whisper. I've heard in the darkness of the night my name whispered by God. It wasn't something that I wanted. I didn't need an earthquake at that time. I didn't need rock splitting. I didn't need just a fire, the roar of that. I needed God's voice in my life, and I heard it tenderly. That's how God speaks. See, God is that way that a whisper, according to the dictionary, it's kind of like you don't use your vocal cords. You just whisper. And you call the other person, come on. See, I got to tell you something. And you tenderly, it's an intimate act of communication, and you put your ear to their mouth and you get close enough and you say, I got this to tell you. Because you're whispering it into your... When my children were young, sometimes they didn't want to get around daddy. You know, no, daddy. I said, come here. How I'd get them, I go, they were little. I said, daddy has a secret for you. Daddy wants to tell you a secret, especially Andrew. You know, he's a boy. He got all macho on me. You know, at 4 years old, he thought he could do everything. And I said, Andrew, come here. Daddy has a secret for you. No, Daddy. No, I got a secret for you. Okay. So I got to tell you in your ear. I love you. And I'd kiss him right on his cheek, and he didn't like that. Yeah. See, aren't you glad for a gentle God that way? No father's perfect, but our Father in heaven is perfect. And he wants to whisper to you, and we should cut away all the noise because we're not going to hear a whisper when there's everything out surround us. It's around. I know you don't need that, but somebody in your family does. I know that right now. I bear witness with you. I wish my daughter, you're saying somebody's here so she could just know that message of God right now. You're believing for your grandchildren today. I'm going to tell you how you can put that into action in a moment, and it's a word just right for you today, amen. Thank God for the word of God. How grateful am I? I could be so intimidated by God, right? He could be loud. He creates things. He's mighty. He's awesome. But he loves me enough to speak to me in a whisper. Yeah. Tenderly, right, everybody? In John 1:14, the New Living Translation, so the Word became human, and he made his home among us. See, John the Beloved, he knew what it was to have a relationship. He was the one that was closest to Jesus. He was the one that was right next to him when they were having the communion supper, the Last Supper, and they were eating together. And John was right here, man, by Jesus, because he was so... And he even said, I was his favorite. How many would like to have that audacity to write that in the Word, right? I was his beloved, man. Now we're all God's favorites, right? I don't know how he does it, but he has your picture in his wallet. Are your screensaver? That's his picture, God's screensaver on his phone today. And he was full of love, and he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. John saw that because he was a whisper away from God. And we've seen his glory. John saw that because how close he was. And the glory of his Father was his one and only Son today. We want to turn up God's voice. We got to turn down the world. You want God to speak, turn it down so you can, the rest of this stuff on this earth that doesn't matter, and come close to Jesus. There's potential for the Word of God to change your life this morning. And what I spoke about a moment ago about your children being reached, and every verse in the Bible speaks, has the potential of speaking God's love language personally to your life. When you mix it, don't miss this, with faith and declaration. You can't read maybe the whole passage, but you can get that one word and then by faith announce it and declare it out loud. My whole family is going to be saved in the name of Jesus. I declare it. It's God's will that you're healed and that you're not in that diseased or disease. By the stripes of Christ, by faith, you say it. By the stripes of Christ, I'm healed today. Mix your faith with your declaration with the Word of God. And you know what it does? It gives you purpose. It gives you truth, because that's truth. It gives you purpose. I'm supposed to be saved. I'm supposed to be healed. My family's supposed to be well today. But are you declaring it? Are you saying it? Well, I don't know the Bible. You get one word. If all you can say again is, Jesus, help me today, God will hear that, because that's the word. Right, everybody? Listen, God's communicating, and God's a communicating God today. Relationship is built on communication. I've learned that as a husband. How about the rest of the men in this room? I've learned that and I don't know it all. I'm still learning. Relation 101, you got to communicate. Isn't it like that with God? You got to grow in God. You're going to have to communicate with God. You want your relationship to grow in your relationship with your spouse, you got to communicate. If you want your relationship to grow with God, you got to communicate with God. I don't hear the voice of God. Well, have you read the voice of God? I want to hear the voice of God like that guy on TV. He did. No, have you read the voice? There's a lot to read, right? It's a voice of God, but you got his love language was written just for you. Pages and pages of it, right? Look at the Hebrew passage, Hebrews 11:3. Why don't you read it out strong on three? Not out soft, on three. One, two, three, go. By faith, by the word of God. So they're not walking with God right now, but they will be, because I'm going to declare it. They're not, my health isn't what it should be, but it will be, because I'm going to declare it. This isn't a wish me list. It's God's truth, right, everybody? But we hear the voice of God and we respond. Let your kingdom come and your will be done as earth is in heaven. There's this, and I want to bring it to earth for my body today. Amen. For my life today. You hear the voice of God in church, in your small group, in your devotional time. We hear the voice of God today. Finally, three. Somebody shout obedience. Obedience is God's love language. Amen. We share it. Share with what God speaks to you and what he's saying to you. God speaks to his children, and then you go announce it to the other people that are his pre-children. They're not really his children yet, but they want to be. And they're gonna hear you before they hear God's voice. So this is what God's saying, and he loves you, and he has a plan for you. That's all God, right? They're far away from God. There's no better time. There's an event that we're doing, an outreach event. It's Be the Church. But this month, you know what we're going to do? On Halloween night, when all the goblins are out and all the ghosts are out, we're going to be a point of light for our community. You know, 78227, as I studied the zip code and the need of this area, you know what the need is? Children, families. There are more children under 10 than any other zip code in our area, in our city. And that's significant to us as a mission for this church to do. And how we spend our money and what we do to reach kids for Jesus. Help us, Jesus, to do what he's told us to do. Right, everybody? So on that night, I'm already going to be there. You can join me if you want. We're going to set up in our parking lot, kind of like a mini trunk or treat, but maybe not as extravagant. And just have this come by. Children are going to come by. We have some candy for them, yeah? maybe some bottled waters with our label on it, Living Faith Water and that sort of thing. But then as they come by, you know what we're going to tell them? May we pray for you and your family? Do you have a need in your life right now that God can meet? And there are moms and dads with their children and in our church being the point of light in darkness, because there's a need, there's a need, there's a need, and the need calls us, and the need calls us to be a point of light. We pray for people. I'm humbled every time I go to the community and I reach out to them with the love of Jesus. I meet God there because that's where Jesus is at. Jesus isn't shut up in a church. Jesus isn't just hanging out here. He's on the outside of the walls, meeting people, loving people, and being part of the community. And that's what we do. I pray that you'll join me and God will speak to you. It doesn't take much to hand out candy. Some of the people will go overboard like they do, and that's okay to put lights on your cars and all that, be a lighthouse. I love that. Do that. But everyone can hand something out in the name of Jesus and say, may I pray for you? How can the need be met? Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We're blessed. Amen. As a church to do that. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
There's light in this house and we're piercing the darkness. Right, everybody? Obedience is the love of God. Hannah was a woman that was obedient. And that was Samuel's mom, wasn't it? You know what Hannah was? She was a praying mom. She was praying before she conceived Samuel. And she conceived because she prayed Samuel in, basically. And when there was one time she was praying, and Eli, you know, was hearing the same guy in the story. She was praying, and she was so intense. She was so loving Jesus that it was almost like she looked like she was drunk. And Eli said, you've been drinking, lady. She says, no, I haven't. I want God so much, and I'm barren right now, and I'm trying to have a breakthrough in my life, and I want children. And Eli told her, he said, you'll have children, and that son will come back to the house of the Lord. And within a year, boom, let me show you the story, amen? That's why moms and dads today, pray for your children by name. Pray for your grandchildren by name. Mark them in the name of, so they'll value the voice of God like Samuel. And so 1 Samuel 1:19 on the screen, are y'all there with me? Somebody say, early.
Early.
Yeah, you said it good. Amen. We got a good church here today. Amen. Early in the morning, that's where God shows up. Early in the morning, they arose and worshiped God, husband and wife, Hannah and her husband, before the Lord. And they went back to their home in Ramah, and Echolion made love to his wife, Hannah. Isn't the Bible good? Sunday morning, amen. Isn't it Sunday afternoon? Give me a good amen. See, that's why I'm saying don't watch reality television. Look at the Bible. There's good stuff in it. Amen? They worshiped God, the pattern. Amen? And then they did something at home which was godly in their marriage. Give me a good amen. And look what God did. And the Lord remembered her. And in the course of time, so it was a couple of times. Give me a good amen. It wasn't just her birthday. Give me a good amen. And in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. Amen. And she named him Samuel because I asked the Lord for him. I heard from the Lord. You single people that are in this room, make love to God when you get home. And God will birth something in you. Give me a good amen. You people that can't get pregnant anymore, God will still birth something in your life today. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
Yeah, they gave me that operation. Give me a good amen. No, I can't do that. I go to psychiatric clinics at times. You say, well, you need it. No. When I go, it's because of a need. Something is prayers needed. And what I've noticed about sometimes in the clinics are some of the patients in there, some of them are dancing in there, but there's no music. And there's an old saying, he who dances without the music is mad. That's an ancient proverb or something. When the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you, some of your family, people, workplace, they're going to probably call you a little bit crazy. They're not going to agree with you. See, you're going to march to the beat of a different drummer. But you're hearing from God. And I don't want you to get all crazy or weird on me, but if it lines up with God's word and you've gone through the checklist, which might be going to somebody more mature in you than in the Lord and just saying, hey, what do you think about this? Then it's God. But if it sounds crazy and if it doesn't check out with God's word, then don't do it. But if it does and the world doesn't agree with it, people that don't know Jesus, it's okay to obey God. Amen? You do that. Obedience is God's love language, so we speak it back to God. God speaks his language, and then you love him so much that you speak it back. This is what I'm going to do for you, Father. It's your will that I do this, right? It's his favorite language. Obedience brings such clarity to my life. How about you? I get blessed. I get. This is what I'm supposed. This is my best season because I'm obeying God. You know what disobedience does in my life? It brings confusion. It brings lack of peace. It brings chaos. It will shut you down big time, right? But we obey God, amen? Obedience, it has this way of releasing the destiny of God in my life because I obeyed God. Look what Samuel, this final scripture, what happened to him as he grew in the Lord and when he heard the voice of God. And then he stood up and kept serving in the house of God. Samuel 3:19 on the screen in your handout. And as Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and made everything Samuel said come true. The sinking of God's voice, the whisper, I'm so close to God that I'm hearing from God. And then the will of God is spoken, that I'm doing the will of God and I'm speaking it. And so look at this. So the Israelites recognized it's okay. Well, they didn't see it. But no, everybody saw it. This is a man of God. That Samuel really was the prophet of the Lord. You ever see somebody, well, is that the will of God? Let's just see if it lasts. It lasted in Samuel's life. Samuel would come in later in his life, and he would be so mighty in God. This is power. He'd walk in, and the whole town would shut down because of the power of God in his life as he'd walked it. He was able to call a king up and then call a king down in the nation and then raise another king up. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Yeah. And so the Israelites recognized that Samuel was really a prophet from God. Everyone from Dan all the way to Beersheba knew it today. No matter what you've been through, no matter how young at heart that you are, no matter how distracted you've been, God is still trying to speak to us today. Right, Living Faith? I've told you about this, just my past, and I'm going to finish with this because I know you're out of time, and we need to make the buffet down the street, right? We need to get to IHOP before the pancakes, you know, they stop at 2 p.m. today, I think, right? The special. So show me the final slide. You know, I told you the story, my sob story. Man, I grew up rejected. I was this loser kid. I know it's hard to think that right now, believe me, but I was the last kid always picked for the team whenever they play football in elementary school. I was that kid. And so this thing started, can you show me the final slide? This thing started that like in third grade that we started, you know, you're new in elementary school, Park Village Elementary right there on Midground. Third grade, we started this thing called the Presidential From Hell Fitness Test. No, the Presidential Fitness Test. Y'all remember the Presidential Fitness Test? Anybody? You don't? Some of y'all do. Some of y'all do, right, Kat? Okay. So in the Presidential Fitness Test, like you had to do these chin-ups, sit-ups. You had to run like a mile under like 8 minutes. You had to do all these tests. Well, at third grade, we started doing these things. And it was always like towards the end of the year, always on a Friday. And so the announcements would come on, you know, Park Village Elementary, today is Fish Stick Friday. And we're also going to do the Presidential Fitness Test. And in third grade, you know, I was already kind of chubby. I was blessed. Give me a good amen. I was blessed. I was a full gospel back then. And so third grade, I didn't know what was going to be. And so then the PE teacher, Miss Deesing, remember her name, she told us, you're going to have to do chin-ups. And the standard is, in third grade, you got to do at least one chin-up. And so, you know, the kids started doing them. And then I was kind of the last one to get on that chin-up bar. And this is how cruel it was back then. You think we have it easy now. You'd be hanging on that chin-up bar, and everybody would be looking at you. And if they were nice, they wouldn't giggle or laugh, but usually they would say, ah, he's too fat, he can't lift himself up, or, you know, because kids are mean. And teachers say, no. And she, my teacher knew that I was going to be last place anyway, because the way I looked, that's how bad it was. Fourth grade, it happens, and I would dread the presidential fitness test. Here we go again. It was embarrassing. Now, thank God for our educators, what they do. I don't think they do it to this extreme. They may have gone, I think it's done away with now. And so then, man, fifth grade, I was even heavier. I'd gained more weight. And I remember being picked last and so forth. And there's always this one kid that's, you can already see they're the elite. They're going to be the elite, you know, and can't stand them, right, everybody? Had that, you know, teacher says, okay, who wants to go first to do the chin-ups? And this kid, see, I'll do it, I'll go first. He had that Eddie Haskell spirit on him, leave it to Beaver, you know, like always one-upping everybody. So he cranks out, man, fifth grade, he's like a Navy SEAL, he does like, God, where's this guy from, man? And there again, man, I'm one of the last ones, and I'm trying to hang, trying to do one chin up, trying to run the mile, and I'm last guy running. I know that's hard to believe now, but that was me, amen. Yeah. What does that have to do from, you know, with hearing from God? I'll tell you, it has everything to do with hearing from God. Because Jesus came along and he said this to all of us, the last shall be first. So you've been humiliated. You've been rejected. You're the one that couldn't do the chin-up like I couldn't. You were the last one to run the mile, and not under 8 minutes. You did it in 18 minutes or whatever, but God still can speak to you. You can still hear from God. You see, your best days are yet ahead. Glory to God, man. Your best days are yet ahead because you're a candidate. You're hearing God's word today that God will speak to you. He loves to use the elite people that are all about, you know, that are... But he loves to use young people, young hearts that are humble. He loves to use people that value his word. Would that be you today? Would you be the candidate of the Lord that says, I want to hear from God today? You know what to do now. Amen. We want to honor God's word today because we've heard God's word. Do you agree with God's word today? Do you receive God's word? We receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's honor the word of God. We honor the word of God. We honor the Bible today. We thank you that it's written for us, Lord. All glory and honor for the written word of God. It speaks to me. It speaks to me. God speaks to me. I heard from the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. As you begin to pray with me, your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed right now. Thank you, Father. We still ourselves in the presence of God, and we thank you for what you're doing today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, you love everyone in this room. You love everyone that's listening via internet right now. You love everyone right now. And we listen to you, Lord, because you love everyone. Thank you, Father. We're ready to hear your voice. We're poised. I've silenced everything, Lord, so I could hear your voice. In this room today, you may need to be obedient to God, and you recognize that. That one thing that God keeps whispering tenderly, would you obey me, son? Would you obey me, daughter? It's not a point of banishment. God speaks to you one time, two times, three times, four times. Maybe this is the fifth time, the 100th time, but God is still speaking, and he wants to speak to you so you can hear from him. You want to obey God because it's foolish just not to. Today, the bondage can be set free if you obey God. That thing that's dragging you down, you can be set free from that chain. It's yanked out right now by the blood of Christ today. That stake is not driven in. The stake was in the ground of Calvary's cross for your liberty and for your freedom today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord, we're going to obey you, Lord. We're going to obey you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, let every house obey you today. Let every house receive healing today. Thank you, Jesus. You're in this room. I always want to give you an opportunity as your heads are bowed, no one looking around right now, to have a fresh start, to receive Christ as your Savior, to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. What would I need saving from? Eternity without him. You'll live forever. Yeah. And Jesus chose it because he loves you so much that he wants to live. You want to live with him forever, and he wants to live for you with you forever. There's a table that he set for you that he's saying, welcome home. I want you to come in to my house today. And he's gently knocking. It's a whisper. Yeah, it's that intimacy. He says, can I come in? Can I be part of your life today? You'd be foolish not to surrender your life to Christ today. You're in this room. You're far away from God. You've never said yes to Jesus. Today, I'll say a simple prayer. You'll say it out loud, not a whisper, but out loud, because we follow Jesus today. And you'll say, Christ, come into my heart. If that's you in this room, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you up front. But I am going to ask you to lift your hand slightly and say, that's me. I'm far away from God. I need Christ. Yes, I see your hand, my brother. Somebody else. Just making sure. Just scanning real quick. Yes, God bless you, Miha. You're a blessing to us. Amen. We love you. Yes, somebody else. Yeah. Two people lifted their hand, not to embarrass them. This is a safe place. This is a place of covenant. It's a place of altar that you can come to God. I'm just going to help you with a prayer. You that raised your hand, say it loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear. The sinners that are saved by grace in this house, we pray it loud with them. We pray it. That's my brother, my sister. I'm going to coach them through. I'm going to say, yes, I was like that, and I got set free, and I still need Jesus tomorrow, a week from now. I still need Christ fresh in my life. We say this together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus, your Son. He died on the cross for me. He made a way for me. He saved me. I have a new beginning in Christ. You're my Savior. I make you my King, my Lord. You're in control of my life. I'll follow you. And Jesus, tell me what to do. Thank you, Lord. Now fill the people of the Lord with your Spirit today. Fill them, Lord Jesus, afresh with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Every vessel, Lord, until it's overflowing. And Lord, thank you, God. We spill out on people the love of God. We spill out on people by being generous, by being a giver of our time, our talent, our treasure. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the fullness of joy right now in God's house today. In the name of Jesus. Those on the internet today, if you've received Christ, would you let us know? Set a comment. You can private message Living Faith also. Let us know. We'd love to pray for you. And thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. One last blessing. Amen. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and give you his peace. Thank God for the peace of God. Amen. Let's celebrate new life and Living Faith. Amen.